Alright, next on the agenda was the client assistance program, complaints or issues. Dr. Van Zandt, have there been, any?
Thank you. There have been no complaints or issues from consumers for the client assistance program during the last quarter. Sherry Bahinski, the new director of client assistance, did meet with Nebraska Center for the Blind staff, and consumers in March, and she's planning to meet with North Platte area offices this summer. So she's getting the word out, and she's also coming into Lincoln office and making herself known to the staff and the clients there. And then she did attend part of the state staff-wide meeting, and she's been attending the supervisors' meetings.
You read my mind. I was going to ask if she attended the state staff meeting.
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. Next on the agenda is the anonymous, the anonymous staff suggestion box. Any comments that have come in? And I have three. So we'll tackle these one at a time. Real quick, make sure I have these in the right order. I don't. So here we go. All right, and for confidentiality reasons, I'm going to not read these verbatim, but enough that the individual who submitted them would know that they're, you know, which one I'm referring to. There was a comment left stating some, on their behalf, some perceived favoritism with a client receiving more support than possibly other clients. I'm going to ask Dr. Van Zandt about this, but there are case reviews that would catch something like this if something like that were to potentially be occurring, the case review process that's in place today would identify that as additional support, not authorized, you know, I won't say not authorized, but additional support or benefits being given that outside of what is normally granted to other clients, that would present itself during the normal case review process, wouldn't it?
Yes. The case review is one way that such a problem might occur, but probably more to the point is the ongoing work in the office. Every client works with their counselor, and then the supervisor is aware of what's going on as well, to develop the individualized plan for employment, which that's key because what each person needs is going to be totally different. And if somebody's going to law school, there will be more expenses than if they're going toward a job that doesn't require as much training. Or so every single client plan will be different, and we really encourage everybody to be fair and so forth. And supervisors certainly know that they need to make sure that favoritism in favor of somebody doesn't happen, but also that kind of the other side of that coin would be if there's a client that I'm not very fond of, maybe I don't do as much for them. And neither of those things is acceptable.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. So another thing to remember with that, and you did state it, but is that, you know, while you might see, a staff member might see another client receiving what they perceive to be more benefits than another, it might not necessarily, you know, it's more likely not favoritism, but just a difference in what the needs are related to their goal, their individual employment plan. So, all right, thank you very much. The next one was, a comment that was sent in related to a staff member at the commission. So it was, in a sense, or because the only way to submit one of these is to be a staff member at the commission, the way the submission process works. So a staff member basically complaining about another staff member. There was no specifics given other than the person's name that they were commenting on. And my comment to the person that submitted this would be that submissions like this typically are not helpful. I would never discourage anybody from submitting something, but the if you feel that there that another staff, if you have a problem with another staff member, certainly reaching out to them in a professional manner is generally a more productive way of dealing with the situation. If for some reason that is not an option, reaching out to their supervisor would be another method. Giving just the person's name and a very broad comment is not anything that's actionable by the board. So there's really nothing that we can do related to a comment like this, and so I would encourage you to work directly with the individual, and so that if something has been done by the individual you named that you did not appreciate, that they can be made aware of it so that they can choose to try to resolve that and not have it be an issue in the future. So I would encourage you to seek another method of resolving the problem that you had with that employee. The final one was, just a minute here. I think I can just read this one straight out loud. All right, so there was an anonymous suggestion that says, all employees who request the generation of purchase orders should be required to learn how to do purchase orders so that they know which information is needed and understand the method required by the state of Nebraska. This will cut down on the misinformation provided to VR techs, resulting in duplication of efforts that cause delay in other work, wasted time, and inefficiency. And Dr. Van Zandt I'll let you cover that, but I'm assuming that there is I don't want to say something's formal as training, but is there's some guidance that's given to all staff on who submit purchase requests and so on. This is the information that needs to be provided and so on, so that they can be giving the appropriate information to the people who process all of those and do the legwork on getting those things taken care of, purchased, and if for some reason there's something missing, that it's brought to their attention so that they can be more efficient in future requests.
The way that Mike just described is what I believe does happen, as far as that people who are indicating a purchase order needs to be generated know the process, and then they delegate it to usually the VR techs to complete the, to fill the form out, do the online, do the process. If training is needed, we certainly can provide training. I don't know if it's a statewide need or if it's just a few people where something's falling down in the process. It could even be a communication issue. Maybe the person thinks they're giving all the info, but in fact, some way they aren't. So this would be a really great one for in your offices, and we'll encourage supervisors to discuss this with their offices. How is it working for you, the people in that office? Are there snags? What do we need to do differently? I also know that just in a recent meeting about how the AWARE system works, there was discussion about maybe we need a specific template that would cover everything needed, and so it's being discussed how best to manage the process is being discussed with regard to AWARE.
Excellent.
I'm glad to hear that you know, I know that there's so many details that come up with the replacement of a system as integral to an organization like AWARE is, so it's great to hear that this is a topic that's being discussed there too, and I agree that an office staff meeting would probably be a great place to bring this up and just ask if there's been some any inefficiencies and if there's anything that we can do to improve the process. So
absolutely.
So. I would encourage all the supervisors to maybe bring that up as a topic at your next staff meeting. Great. So that is those were the three suggestions that came in through the anonymous suggestion box. The next item on the agenda is the Nebraska Business Enterprise Program and an update on their happenings.
Okay, and Carlos Duran is here today, and he can talk, but he always is here again today, so Carlos will give this report.
Can you guys hear me there? Okay, I think I'm getting it there. As you know, the former vendor who was at the Department of Roads and has some health issues, and he announced his retirement, so we had to find somebody very quickly, and she's doing well. We are operating a cafeteria there as well as vending machines. And we are going to get our contract renewed as well. I think Pearl is working on signing those. The Department of Corrections gave us the opportunity to operate like 13 buildings across the state. We started with three. One of the problems that we are facing is we are not having enough clients or people who are interested in running those. So we are offering, or some of the folks who are already operating buildings, they are adding those into their businesses, so they are going to be making more money, with the condition that when we get a client who needs a job in that particular location, and we can give it to that person. So we're doing that.
Don't in a hold the mine.
A few years ago, I went to talk to the Department of Veteran Affairs in Omaha, because at the national level there were some negotiations, and got some clarifications on what we could get. What happened is that they have a kind of union too, and they want to run their vending machines, and part of the money goes for their funds, okay? But the Randall Shepherd of America and the blind entrepreneurs, so the NFP and the ACB, worked together, and they told each agency that we need to make sure to be there, so they will respect the law. And the way how it is now gets complicated, but to make it simple is any new building or a remote building, it should come to us first. So we got a couple of letters a few weeks ago to operate a building in Lincoln and one in Omaha. At this point, we don't know when yet, or we don't know if we have a client, but we're working also on recruiting clients. We also got contacted by the base from Omaha, the Air Base, and this is a big opportunity. We're talking about 3,500 folks between civilians and soldiers, 360 tables, and they want us to serve breakfast and lunch, and also 26 break rooms. So it's going to be a big facility. We will not be able to operate it by ourselves. In the past, some state agencies, as soon as they saw that, said, well, we cannot run it, and they gave it away. The problem with that is once we give it away, another entity called Ability One, I think it's called, they take it, and then we have no way to get it.
Yeah.
So, and that's what happened before too. That's why we were not able to get in there, but we were able to do the same negotiations at the national level, which is, again, every new building, Randall Shepherd should have the priority. So this is a new building, and we were monitoring it, and they contacted us, so we are going to be doing it. On May 17th, the Blackstone Corporation, they are teaming partners, they will be coming to Nebraska, so we will visit the base and evaluate the situation, because we are determined to get that facility for a blind operator, hopefully making a lot of money. We're talking about hundreds of thousands. The way how the teaming partner works is they put all the investment, and we need to find a blind operator who is willing to become a business person. And the first year, the teaming partner runs the facility, and the blind operator is running a little bit of it, but learning most of it. And gradually, within 5 to 6 years, the blind person is in charge of the whole thing, and then the blind person owns the business. So that's what we are hoping to do. Kerry DeFries is our new NPE manager. She's jumping very quickly, and we are dealing with some issues at the Ashland cafeteria, and she's handling that very well. One of the issues that we had in the past, because the business enterprise program was not so attractive because they were not making enough money, people were not interested. And because they were not interested, they wouldn't be getting formal training to become vendors. It's like to get a year or year and a half training plus homework and this and that to make only $100 per month. They didn't want to do it. But because of the new opportunities and the fact that they are making now more money, we're in the point now that we can establish or require formal training, and Kerry is working on that. I think that's what I can summarize for you guys. The last part is the Department of Corrections that I already mentioned, that it's gradually as we keep finding more vendors. Questions?
Yeah.
How about the new staff person, supervisor, is that working good?
Yeah, she's Kerry. Her name is Kerry DeFries.
Yes.
Yeah, she's doing very well.
Okay.
Anything else for Carlos?
I was just gonna make a comment that
you know, this time of year, we're updating a lot of statistics and so on that the commissioners look at, and so there's a few that with the Nebraska Business Enterprises that statistics are a part of that, and looking over the last several years, I just want to say, Carlos, that the program has been very impressive.
Yeah.
What I'm looking at right now shows the restructuring that you've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure some of this was done through changes, desires by some of the vendors, some vendors retiring and so on. But we go back a couple of years here, and we used to have some more vendors, but we had 24 vendors and 32 vending sites. So, you know, you talked about how the vendors didn't make a lot of money.
Right.
And looking at how the program is changing, you know, we moved on to 2015. We had 15 vendors and 85 vending sites. Now, you know, I don't know how big each one of those was, but we had a reduction in the number of vendors and a significant increase in the number of sites. So I tend to believe that there was, as you're describing, an increase in the profitability for the vendors, the active vendors. And now going into the statistics that I'm looking at here for 2016, we had an additional vendor added, so we're up to 16, but we went from 85 to 103 vending sites. And so the program looks to be growing, exactly what you just reported on, becoming more profitable for the people that are participants within the program, and that's exciting to see. So congratulations.
Thank you. And I think I forgot to mention that two more folks will be licensed, so that will make it 18 by the end of May.
Okay, and these are 2016 statistics that I'm looking
at. Okay. So I hope that by the end of the year we will have 20.
That's awesome.
We'll see.
Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah, seeing all those cafeterias come up, that's really great, because we haven't had too many of those in the past.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's where some money is.
Okay, so with that, we've come to our first public comment period. Is there anyone from the audience that would like an opportunity to ask a question or make a comment? Going once. Okay. We will have another opportunity here before we're done. But with that, then let's take a 15-minute break. It is right now 10:33, so if we could be back here by 10:50, that'd be great. Thank you very much.